Hello, here is the Explode Your Coaching Business podcast brought to you by gtex.org.uk. I'm your host, the one and the only Simone Vincenzi, and this is the podcast for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses by making an impact in the world. Now, if you are looking to sell more from the stage and to get more clients that are working with you so you can change more people's life, then make sure you download for free our Selling From Stage Ultimate Checklist, where we can teach you step by step for free how to create a killer sales pitch but without being a douchebag. So you can go at www.gtex.org.uk/start. Now, this is episode number 32, and today we have as a special guest is officially the sexiest UK podcasters operating today, hosting the Laugh Out Loud business podcast Join Up Dots, and he has quite literally taken the podcast world by storm with a new type of entrepreneurial show where guests end up revealing the kind of stuff that perhaps they wish they hadn't, whilst sharing the steps that they have led to business success. Now, imagine a bar conversation that is recorded for the world to eavesdrop into. Now, this is Join Up Dots with David Ralph. So with David, we are going to be talking about how to create a podcast, how to launch a podcast, what kind of things you must use in order to have a successful podcast, from technology to microphones, literally everything you need to know in order to start a podcast. Also, we are going to be talking about huge dildos. I'm not going to be talking too much about that, but I'll leave you here to it because it's a great funny part. Now, make sure also you subscribe to our podcast, the Explode Your Coaching Business Show. If you haven't done that yet, make sure you do it. And if you want to reach out to me, you can send me an email at simone@gtex.org.uk. That comes straight into my inbox. And without further ado, let's start the music and give David Ralph a massive round of applause. 32 of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. Here is Simone Vincenzi, and I'm here with the one and the only David Ralph. How are you doing, David?
Is this another crank call? Can I ask who's calling, please?
Is Simone Vincenzi. You know the Italian stallion? Have you heard of
it? I know. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. How are you, sir? It's a delight to be in your presence.
Thank you very much for coming to in our podcast. And if for those of you that are listening to his voice, it's a bit rouchy, as you said before. And you've been recording podcasts from this morning at since this morning at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I went earlier than that. I started off and I've had a really heavy cold. You know, one of those kind of colds, Simone, that only men get? And it's been one of those spare room colds for the last week. I'm not allowed to sleep with my wife. She banishes me to the spare room. So I've been in the spare room all week, which has been kind of nice, I must admit, because you can make your legs go wherever you want, which is a good way of being. But recording for 12 hours now. So I'm starting to get a little bit croaky. It's a little bit kind of Italian sex line voice that I've got.
Yeah, and it works really well. Now, you've been recording more than 600 episodes, and it is a 4 million, more than 4 million listeners and downloads, actually. Mm. And there are around 200 countries that are listening to your podcast, which is Join Up Dots. And that's actually how we met. I was a guest on your podcast. And now you are the kind of the British king of podcast, the British god of podcast. I can imagine you like, like dressed like Zeus and the podcast crown on your head. So what got you to choose podcast instead of like everything else that you could do?
I think it's one of those things that if I join up my dots, which is a good way of segueing into my show, I can sort of tie it back to when I was 9 years old. I used to do these crazy little interviews where I used to get my little tape recorder and go round. And this is bizarre. And I only found this out when I had to clean out my mum's loft, her attic. And I found these little cassette tapes that we used to have in the 80s and 90s. And it had my little kind of 9-year-old writing on. And when I played them, it was me going around to the bank manager, proper people, professionals, and interviewing them. And it was like, if you wasn't a bank manager, what would you like to be? And then the man was saying, oh, I'd like to be an international playboy, and all these kind of bizarre answers. And I thought, God, I used to do this. And then I went into banking and insurance, and I remember people saying, you should be in radio, you should be in radio. And so it was a kind of natural fit that took maybe 25 years to get to. And you know when it is, Simone, when you turn on something and you think to yourself, this is it. And that's how I felt. As soon as I turned on the microphone, hopefully I've become more confident and not as croaky. I can feel the voice going now, but it's one of those things that I love. I love this more than anything other than my wife and my children.
What do you love in particular about podcasts? Because it seems like you found your calling, you found your thing, you found the thing that really makes you happy. But what is about podcasting that really makes you happy, that you enjoy?
I think one of the things is the connection with people. I think it's been absolutely brilliant for, like, a spin-off is amazing SEO, because everyone that I interview will more often than not link to my show. So it's quite easy when you're doing an interview show to get your platform high up into the Google ranks. So that's been really good. But the other thing I love about podcasting is it's unfiltered. You know, you literally say anything you want. Funnily enough, I've had a couple of requests over the last 3 years, or job interviews almost coming up, to go onto commercial radio.
Wedding requests. They wanted to marry you.
Oh, tell they the do. But I've turned Bob and Jim down. Both of them. I've said, no, I'm already married. But no, it was commercial radio interviewed me for jobs. And they said, you know, would you like to work with us? And I would have bitten their hand off before. But I just thought to myself, who wants to be doing 15 minutes and then, you know, 3 hours of Buble music and a couple of adverts? I like it on a podcast that you can say anything you want and it goes across the world. It's globally exciting.
It's globally exciting. I can feel your excitement. So, and for everyone that hasn't listened to Join Up Dots, they must, because what I loved about your interview style is very relaxed, is very playful, and is very joyful, and it actually goes really deep at the same time. So we are talking about deep topics, but with a light attitude, with a light atmosphere. So that's what I really love about your interview style. Now, but for people that want to start podcasts, because I know that you, one of the things that you do is also helping other people starting podcasts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of my income streams, as we say in the game.
Brilliant. That's one of your income streams. So what are let's start before going into what to do. Let's look at what not to do, because I'm sure that over how many episodes have you recorded so far?
I've recorded about 742 of Join Up Dots with bonus shows.
Just 742 episodes. Yeah. I'm sure that recording those 742 episodes, there are a lot of things that you said, no, these are no, don't do that. Or listening to a lot of other podcasts say, no, don't do that. What are the things that people should, they must avoid, like the plague, when they start a podcast?
I think number one, and I was lucky, I didn't really listen to podcasts when I started. And so when I set off, it was me against three others. There's about 100 million of them now, whatever it is. But I had a very small breadth of competition in my mind. And so I started recording and I just kind of created what I created. And I was very, very lucky, but I didn't listen to other people. So I didn't know the kind of format that other people are following. And if you go over to sort of iTunes land now, you can hear a lot of shows which are very similar. You know,
yes,
and you know,
yes,
that there's going to be a question here, then there's going to be a quick round here. And I think, no, just do your thing. Just do your thing. And I was fortunate. I came from a training background, but I'm used to standing up in front of people for 8 hours a day. doing a kind of entertaining training. So I had to get very dry subject in a sort of fun format. So I was very lucky in that regard. But I do think, first of all, don't listen to other shows. Just do your own thing. And then enjoy yourself like you can't possibly believe. Like, you almost feel guilty that you're enjoying yourself, you know, but it's so playful because that's your authentic self coming out. And I'm naturally a silly person, and so my shows are, as you say,
I know it is a weird thing to think
naturally silly, and so I think I sort of go into deep silliness, which is, it works quite well on a show. And I think the other thing is, don't set your stall out too high. When I started, I was doing an hour plus show a day, 7 days a week, and it was free format. It wasn't scripted questions, and that was a lot of content. And I did 365 shows until I hit the year, and then I wrote out to my list and said, you know, I've done it, there's a year, what do you want more for join up blocks in the second year? And they said, less of it, please, less of it. And I went, what, how can you want less? How can you want less of it? And I didn't realize that they were listening to like each show. I thought they would just dip in every now and again, you know, but they weren't. They were trying to listen to 7 hours a week, and some people were listening to them multiple times. So it was a bit ridiculous. So they said, please go down to like 3 days a week. So now I do 4 days a week because I've got things to say, Simone.
Wow, that is okay. That's really interesting. So less is more. That's what I'm hearing. It's not too little, but it's also what I'm hearing you saying is, I allow your audience to actually digest your content and consume your content in their own time. Because if you produce too much, then they can get frustrated because they cannot catch up with your content. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. If you're doing a show, it's very easy to forget that people are listening to it because you're having a great time having a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does. It lands in other people's ears across the globe. And so you've got to be led by them. And to be honest, looking back on it, it was kind of a relief because it was a conveyor belt. And now I only do it 1 day a week. And all the rest is just me kind of floating around with my harem of ladies in podcasting land, sort of enjoying myself. So it has become a lot easier because of my audience told me, you know, they don't want it. So what I would always say is, start, enjoy yourself. Don't listen to any other podcasts, but start asking your listeners what they want, because they will tell you, and they will tell you if you're not very good, and they will tell you if you're good, and just keep on doing what they want.
Now, let's talk about the decision, like the moment where you want to start a podcast. So let's say someone is starting from scratch and they say, you know what, I'm ready. I want to start my podcast, but I don't know what the frick I want to talk about.
Yeah.
How do you niche your podcast? How do you choose the topic of your podcast? Is that something that you just do it because you can, or is that something which is done strategically? What do you recommend for people when they're starting?
Well, this is actually one of the parts of my course that I spend more time on than anything else. It's quite easy to launch a podcast. You get a microphone, you record it, you upload it to a hosting, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can go over to YouTube and you can pretty much learn it in about sort of like an hour or so. So that's an easy thing. The hard thing is finding the subject that you love more than anything. And I do a lot of work with my guys so that they find the thing that they're never going to get bored with. But if they're in a pub and they have a couple of drinks down them and someone starts talking about that subject, you can't shut them up. And it could be anything from sort of like, you know, your local football team. It could be TV shows. It could be anything. But it's the thing that you're really passionate. And talking about TV shows, Simone, that is a great way of doing a podcast because you're already tapping into an established audience. So if there's a really popular TV show that everyone's talking about, then, you know, do a podcast on that and do it within series and stuff, and you pretty much shoot to the top of the charts pretty quickly. But do you have to do lots of preparation? And if you have to do a ton of preparation, I always say to people, well, think about it, you know, because I do about 20 minutes per show of preparation. And other than that, it's just the recording. If I was doing 3 or 4 hours, well, I read this thing the other day. This guy does 40 hours preparation per show. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I would be literally wrapping the microphone around my neck and hanging myself in my
what
studio.
What kind of show is that?
I got so bored with reading about the 40 hours, I turned off. I don't know what it was, to be honest, but 40 hours per episode, that is like a life sentence. Just record and get it out to the world.
Oh, my God. So it's about finding the thing that you love to talk about the most. And about the thing that no one would shut you up, the thing that you're really passionate, the thing that you have so much content and so much wisdom inside you that even 400 episodes are not enough to exhaust that topic. That's what I'm hearing you saying. Now, how did you find your passion in terms of what did you want to talk about? Because Join Up Dots as a story, there is a reason why you decided Join Up Dots instead of something else. So what is your thing?
It's an interesting story, this, actually, because, yeah, the title Join Up Dots.
Tell us the story, then. Go for it.
I'm gonna tell you, Simone. I'm going to take control of your show. I'm going to take control. Join Up Dots is based on a speech that Steve Jobs did back in 2005 when he stood up in front of the Stanford guys and literally said, you can't see how you get somewhere. You need to look back and connect your dots, he called it. And I remember being at work one day and a guy had gone to the dentist. And you know when guy goes to the dentist, they sometimes pick up ladies' magazines because they're just bored in there. And it's the only place that you might read these kind of things. And I think it was Marie Claire or something, but there was the Steve Jobs speech in there. And the guy came back and he threw it on my desk and he said, read this. And I read it and I thought it was brilliant. And that was it. I didn't think anything more of it. And then when I was recording my show, I knew that I needed a hook and I knew that I needed a cylindrical journey. Now, all shows that really work.
What did you say? What was the word?
A cylindrical. It had to go around a circular.
Cylindrical journey. I like it. Yeah. You're starting becoming very sophisticated in this. I like it. Keep going.
I am, yes. I'm going to go sexy voice as well as sophisticated.
Please do.
Yeah. And so I kind of thought to myself, you need a start and you need an end. Unfortunately, I come from training background where if you stand up and you do public speaking, the first bit is what people are judging you on and the end bit what they're judging you on. And the bit in the middle, they start scratching themselves and looking around and stuff. So you've got to have a good start and a big finish. And I knew that that was a way of connecting. Now, I actually started recording the show and on the first episode, I thought I need something at the end. And just before I got to the end of the guest, I threw it in. I just threw it in as, oh, right, I do this. And you can hear episode one. You know, now I've got it down pat and I know exactly what I'm going to say. But it was literally me going, oh, this is a bit stupid, but I'm going to do it anyway. And, you know, it just worked. It just worked. And they really liked it, the guest. And then I got feedback from the listeners and they went, oh, that's the best bit. And I went, oh, blimey, I only have to do 2-minute podcasts and leave all the rest out. And that's what we did. And we just kind of joined up the dots of the show. So I didn't have any master plan. I don't remember any of this happening. It just kind of grew around me until now I look back on it and I think, thank God for that. It was like the gods were channeling through me, Simone, and giving me the answer to all my dreams.
Oh my God. Thank you for this image. I can see you like there meditating for 15 days without food and water on the peak of a mountain. And then finally you realize you got the calling and you knew how the podcast went. So that's the image that I have of you right now. And you can never take it away, I'm afraid. Now, David, we're talking about finding you. So you found your voice. Someone has found their voice in their podcast. Now let's go a bit more into the technical part, because I have a lot of clients that they say to me, oh, you know, I'm not technical and I would love to start a podcast, but I have no clue of what hosting site do I use or what platform do I use. Do I need to put a podcast in my website? Shall I just use iTunes? Shall I just use Stitcher? Shall I just go on? Oh my God, it's so confusing. So can you make it simple for us, David? Please help us make it simple, David.
I will make it simple for you, Simone, and all your 4 million listeners. Now, the beauty of podcasting is you do it in your home. and you do it through the equipment that you've basically got. So I have recorded, as I say, nearly 800 shows now, and I literally bought a $60 microphone, a $30 mixer, and everything else I've used to sort of make my voice sound better and stuff is kind of donationware. So it's very cheap at the beginning to do it. But what you do, you record your voice onto a recording device. Some people use something called Audacity. I always use Camtasia. So whatever you can do to record your voice on your computer, people do it on their phones, that creates an MP3 file. That is your podcast. A podcast is no different than a kind of audio file or a video file. Now, the beauty of podcasting is this. You then take that file and you give it to another company that we call a hosting company, and they say, right, we'll look after it, but we'll give you this little link. And this little link, you share it wherever you want, and we will play it whenever anyone actually clicks on it. And that's right. Known as your RSS feed, which stands... Do you know what RSS stands for, Simone?
I actually don't. I've always seen it around, but I never asked myself the question. Please enlighten me, David.
It stands for really simple syndication. So it just means that you can syndicate that one file wherever you want. So I have mine on iTunes, I have mine on YouTube, I have mine on LinkedIn, I have mine on Facebook, on Twitter, and I don't do anything for that. I just give this link and it's done automatically. Now, the brilliant thing is, and I didn't realize this at the beginning, this link starts to kind of go viral. And there are things called podcast directories, which I suppose in the old days would be something like Yellow Pages or something, where you would look up something and you would
the Yellow Pages
down.
Of podcasts.
The Yellow Pages of podcasts, yeah. And you would sort of find what you were looking for. Now, people are looking for podcasts and they're looking for different content to listen to and consume. Biggest one of this is iTunes, which is just a directory where all the links point to. And so little by little, this link can be populated across the globe. Now, I'm on TuneIn Radio, I'm on iHeart Radio, I'm on Speak Talk Radio, which is 250 terrestrial radio stations in America. So, you know, these poor people are tuning through their dials and they suddenly get my stupid ramblings. And I don't do anything more than just talk into it once and give this file to somebody. So if you think about it on the wider sense, and you have got a blog and you write a post and you try to get people to link to it, nothing is more viral at the moment than podcasting, because number one, more often than not, you can get a guest, they share it, then it gets onto their audience, then the directories get it, then sort of Google gets it, and it literally does spin off. So if you're consistent enough and people like the content, you can get quite a lot of listeners, i.e. customers. That's the big thing. I think of all my listeners as potential customers. I don't say that term, Simone, but on your show I will do.
You can. They're not listening to this, so I can say, okay, the reason why I do this is because I want your credit card. That's it.
Just swipe it through me. And that's what I do.
Interesting.
Yeah. That is what I do. I just put that one file out. So I honestly say to everyone, and you can prove this, people, all you listeners out there, start going over to Google and Google your favorite, I don't know, celebrity or businessman. They're the better ones. And you will find more often than not, they will have a podcast attached to them. Wouldn't have done that six months ago or a year ago. But now, literally, all the high flyers know that it's a great way of getting massive exposure really, really quickly. It's brilliant.
True, is very powerful. I mean, I got one of my clients that we were playing around with different ideas, and he said, you know what, I'm starting a podcast. And I said, you know what, start a podcast, why not? He had 15,000 listeners over 13 episodes. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
And it just grew and grew, and it was, I don't know what I'm doing, but people are listening, so I'm keep doing it. And I said, oh, wow, that works. And I started doing my podcast, and I got a couple of other people other than my mom and my grandma and my brother, so which is nice to see that other people are enjoying Explode Your Coaching Business. And yes, it's true. It actually gets even more traction with less work than the blog post that I have on my website. So
yeah, and the thing about that, just jump in, the nichier that you can do, the more loyal the audience. So if you did something like underwater knitting, something really, really bizarre, and you might only find 50 listeners, but those 50 listeners are hanging on your every word. You can monetize really quickly. I know people that have monetized their podcast with 2 listeners, literally on the first day. I actually recorded my very first episode, and a lady came through within about an hour or something, it seemed like, from Arizona. Never forget it. And she literally said, David, I love this show. Thank you very much for releasing it to the world. How can I work with you? And at that stage, it was like, you can't work with me. I don't know anything. I'm just an idiot. I've just recorded this. I don't know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. But I could literally have monetized it on the very first show. But I didn't have a product and I didn't have a belief in myself at that stage. I was just sort of making it up as I went along. But yeah, as long as you provide the content, it's focused, it's laser targeted on that subject, which is why something like a football podcast, I think that would be quite hard to monetize. But if you're doing something where people will then buy a program or a platform, then it's quite easy to do.
Brilliant. So the I think in business now we have this word like micro niche. Like the more micro the niche, the more loyal the followers are going to be, the more they want to listen, and then the more they listen, then the more they will want to buy and engage and interact with you. Now, what are, before we go into some of the personal questions, because I got some personal questions for you, David.
Oh yeah, you're going personal.
Not even probably your wife asked you. What are some of the tools that you use in terms of names? So what do you use, for example, as hosting, or if someone wants to buy a microphone? You mentioned already Camtasia and Audacity, great tools to edit the podcast. What are some of the things that you are using or you will recommend someone to use to say that can make the podcast really quality and really good just the way you can do it?
Well, I use freeware for everything I can. Now, I look at, basically, I'm a bit tight, Simone. So I look at how people are doing it. And you can go online and you can Google stuff. So I have got a soundboard on my system now, which is free, which means I can channel all the sounds through to the microphone and back to get extra bass into them, which you don't get sort of speaking straight through. On the hosting,
Is that called, the soundboard? How is that called?
Yeah, that's a soundboard. That's an online soundboard which channels online the sound through. So you can actually...
I'm actually taking notes because I'm getting all this stuff after we finish recording. Keep talking.
So you can manipulate stuff, and I have got I've got systems now where I can play live intros and outros, and not only that, I can mix the two together so it's just seamless, and it makes the editing process really, really easy. But one of the things I've got, which I'm going to offer to all your audience, and I'll give Simone the link for the show notes, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but on the hosting, I have got through my platform $100 of free hosting for a podcast. So if anybody wants to start a podcast, instead of going to the established companies, go with a company that I'm offering. Brilliant company, fantastic customer service, and they're going to give you $100 of free hosting, which it equates to, imagine, sort of like $600 really for the amount of hours you can actually put within those 100 hours.
Exactly. Do you remember the name of the company on the top of your head?
It's called Awesound, AWESOUND.com. And I will give you a promo code which you can put on the link. And it's, as I say, it's a huge offer. 100 hours of free hosting.
That's brilliant. I recommend everyone to take it. If you're starting right now, go there and take it. In terms of microphones, what is the microphone that you like? What is a microphone that you like, David?
I like the ATR2100 Logitech. Now, when I was going through, at the very beginning, looking at what microphone to use, I went on Pat Flynn from the Smart Passive Income site. Uh-huh. And he had a really good thing about podcast microphones. And he said, right, this one's about $19 and I'm going to record into it. And he put it on and it sounded a bit telephony. And he said, mm-hmm. And this one is $40. And then the ATR2100 is $60. And then the next one's $400. And there was no difference between the $400 and the $60. And I thought, blimey, okay. I can't tell any difference. And he said, I can't tell any difference. And if I knew what I know today, I would get the cheaper one. So I thought, that'll do, mate. So I ordered.
I'll take the cheaper one.
Yeah, absolutely. If it sounds as good. And now it's a kind of podcasting microphone of choice. It gives a great sound. It's known as a dynamic microphone. So it focuses the sound in. Some of them, condenser microphones, without getting too techie, pick up the whole ambience of the room. And so it will record from the back and the front and the side. It's very good if you're recording a band and you want to plonk it in a room and pick up the guitarist and the drummer and they're all sitting in different directions. That is great. But what you want with a podcast microphone is the ability to talk straight into it and it's not picking up a load of noise, especially because podcasters generally will be recording at home. So you don't want people sort of going, are you still in the toilet? You know, picking up all the sort of...
the toilet flushing and the baby crying on the floor and all these kind of things. All right.
Yeah, you do. Well,
that's really important. Thank you.
And so that's what I would go with. ATR2100, the Logitech microphone. It might actually be cheaper if they're looking for it to get it from America and get it shipped back. If they're in the United Kingdom, I think over here there was about a £30 difference and it actually worked out about £10 cheaper to get it flown in from America.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the tip. So guys, get it from US. I remember when I bought mine, I got the Blue Yeti, which looks like a very heavy, huge dildo. And it is a nice sound, but I didn't want such a heavy dildo to carry around with me, which looked really weird. I was actually shocked. Now I understand why they call it the Blue Yeti. Now, the sound quality is good. I cannot complain about the sound quality. But it was it's heavy, it's big, it's
have you tried the Pink Rabbit, the follow-on?
No.
Have you not tried the Pink Rabbit? Simone, I'm just being rude on sex aids. I was following your theme there, and I was taking you down a path. You don't want to go down there, sir. You're too young and inexperienced.
You know what? I can give it a go. If you recommend it, I'll give it a go with the Pink Rabbit.
Yeah, go for the Pink Rabbit and let's see what kind of podcast you record.
Moving on. Now, talking about more personal question, David, who inspired you in your life to be who you are right now? If you have like three people or that could be living or dead, and I take this question from Tim Ferriss, which I love his podcast, The Tim Ferriss Show. What three people that can be living or dead that inspired you to be who you are today? And one of them I know is me, so don't put it in. But what are the other three people?
Right, I think on the podcast sense, there is a guy called Michael O'Neill who's got a show called the Solopreneur Hour podcast. And I was very fortunate to listen to his very first episode. And so he was a big sort of inspiration. And on episode 8, I sent him a little voicemail and he played it on this Solopreneur show. And it was the first time I'd ever heard my voice in internet land. And it was really exciting. And so he would be a big inspiration. Mr. Solo Hour, I salute you. Who else inspires me? My wife inspires me. She inspires me to get out of the house. And so I come up to the recording studio at the back of the garden where I record. So she's a big inspiration. And she was great, my wife, when things weren't going so well. It's very difficult in the early days of podcasting, especially when you haven't got anyone to teach you, which I didn't. I just kind of thought that I could naturally make it up as I went along. Bad mistake. And I think the last one I think would be I would say someone like Paul McCartney, actually. Now, I've never personally met him, but when you hear the story of the Beatles about how much effort they put into just becoming a band and how much effort they put into learning a chord on their guitar and how much effort, and it was all effort, but now you look at them and you think, oh, it was just they walked into a room and they were the Beatles and away they went. It made me realize that everything is a journey, and if it takes 10,000 hours to be good at something, then so be it. That's the way it has to be. You know, I've already booked in my 1,000th guest. And already know that I've got another 200, 300 to go, whatever it's going to be. So that's already booked in. I already know my 2,000th guest and they're booked in as well. So it's a journey. And I think a lot of people give up after, you know, 15, 20 shows and stuff because they're not seeing movement. if you look at the big guys like the McCartneys and stuff, you know that they slogged for years before they even got a glimmer of anything. So I would say that they would be the inspiration. But of course, you riding around on your big pink rabbit, that is a huge, a huge inspiration.
Well, thank you very much, in particular, being mentioned in the likes of Paul McCartney and your wife. So that's a very big honor for me. I appreciate that, David. And now I have another question, because we were talking about Steve Jobs, we were talking about joining up dots. And I think that we have in life this turning moment. It's like we have these moments where things turn around and we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, this needs to change. When was the last time you had one of these moments? So the latest time where you had one of these moments that made you change direction, like the latest change of journey that you had?
I think actually it must have been probably about 2 months ago. I suddenly decided I was on the path to have the number one show, in all the world. And I was absolutely driven. And I think that probably about 3 or 4 months ago, I thought to myself, does it matter? Does it matter if I've got 100,000 people a day or 2 million people a day and stuff? And so I just started to relax and enjoy it. And I think that was a big weight off. And funnily enough, I think the shows have got better since then. I think the guests have got better. I think there's more of an enjoyment factor. And I think a lot of it was because I was trying to hit a home run every single day, every time I turned on the microphone, you know, and you just can't do it. So I've stopped thinking that I'm going to be world dominating. And I just think to myself, I'm going to enjoy myself. And that's the beauty of podcasting. Again, as I come back to it, you don't need too many people. You know, I always say to people, you create a product for $500, which isn't a huge amount of money, and you sell it to 200 people, you're making 100 grand a year. You know, it's six figure time. And so you don't need many customers. But you do need a life, you need an enjoyment. And I think that comes out strongly on the shows now. I just started to relax and thought, it's going to be what it's going to be, Simone.
So there are a lot of people that talk about, you know, hustling. And in particular, there is one of the biggest speaker in the world, or the media personality in the world, which is Gary Vaynerchuk, which I had the pleasure to meet and do an event and organize an event with him. And I remember him talking on stage, and he was saying, yeah, it's all about hustling. It's about becoming the best. It's about making it happen. It's about working these 55 hours a day. But if there are not 55 hours a day, it means that you need to create 31 hours more in a day to make up to 55 hours. So what is your view on that? Because I remember that when we had our interview and also our Skype call before, you had a different view on life. So what is your view about hustling? Is that true? Is that not true? Is that correct? Not correct? What do you think?
I think he's an idiot, to be honest, to say that. you know, I really think that we are in this to enjoy ourselves. We're not into driving ourselves into the grave. Now, when I started Join Up Dots, I did work humongously long hours, and it wasn't fun. So I think to myself, yes, you don't have to hustle. You do have to flex the old hustle muscle every now and again. You do have to get out of your comfort zone, and you need to do things that maybe are a bit scary time for you, but you just got to do the right thing. You know, I play a speech on my show every now and again with Oprah Winfrey, and she says, you know, what you need to do is not hustle. You need to sit, you need to be quiet, and you need to think, what is the next right thing? Don't go, oh, I've got so much to do. Oh, I need an extra 5 hours because I've already worked 55 hours. Just calm it down and think to yourself, what is the next right thing? And so now with Join Up Dots, as I say, I only do it on Thursdays. And if somebody comes along and says, oh, can you do it on Friday morning? Nope, sorry, I'm not doing it. And I've got to the point now, I used to creep up to my recording studio a lot. And now I don't. I come up here maybe once a week, really, you know, and I do very small bursts of work, but I try to make sure that it's the right type of work, it's the right thing, and you can build up incredible momentum. You know, I consider you as a good friend now. We've never personally met, but you know, I find it's a rewarding connection that can actually take you places. And so building a podcast where you connect with these people, I think that's probably, you know, 100 hours of hustle, isn't it? That you and me have spent 2 hours together deeply talking about stuff. You can now Facebook me, I can Facebook you. It's kind of, it's more than friendship, but it's not as big as personal friendship. You know what I mean? So it really does cut through the hustle.
It creates an instant connection between the interviewer and the interviewee. Because, and that's actually the reason why, that was the main reason why I started a podcast. I never set up to have a podcast to reach millions of people. That wasn't my intention. I have other means for that. For me, the podcast was actually started for a very selfish reason, which is I want to connect with amazing people. That's it. That's all my view. For me, I want to connect with amazing people. And at the same time, for my audience, I want them to really learn quality content and at the same time have a great time while they're listening to it. So that was my reason. And now slowly it's growing and I'm pretty happy about that. And I agree with you. It creates such a deep connection, which is almost instant. And I haven't found any other media that is able to do that with such a low cost, for such a low cost.
I tell you a little story, Simone, and this kind of
tell me the story. It's story time. Okay, I'm getting the pillow ready.
Are you sitting comfortably? Well, about 2 weeks ago, one of my coaching clients I got a coaching course, Dream Starters Academy, and she's doing a virtual online summit. And it's for authors. And a couple of her big names dropped out. And so she sort of went, oh, they've dropped out. I can't believe it. I don't know who to fill in with. I would like this person and that person. And I thought to myself, oh, I'll connect you. And I didn't think anything of it, you know. And then as I was sending the email to these two A-listers, basically, and they responded back to me, and I'm friends with them on Facebook and stuff, I suddenly thought to myself, my God. You know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was just an insurance trainer. I was in a bank. I was in insurance. I was in company. I could never have done this. And now I just go, oh, I can connect you two. You know, it blows my mind how your network explodes. You know, as I say, 800 shows. Those 800 people have then got PAs more often than not. Those people are connected. My LinkedIn profile, I can literally say, oh, it's that guy, Simone. Yeah, he's always blowing that Australian thing. You know, I need to connect.
Very wrong. We've been talking about like big, like heavy dildos, and we're talking about blowing Australian things. I don't know.
Are you sexually frustrated, Simone? Do you need to get things off your chest?
I am. Yeah, I've been. I've been drinking since I was 5, and. You know,
you're slightly backed up. You're slightly backed up. I will sort it out for you. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'm sure you can do it on Amazon. Everything's possible on Amazon.
I appreciate that.
But it's amazing that I can just connect now, you know, without being arrogant about it. But I couldn't have done that if I was a blogger, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very powerful. Now, let's go back into a bit more the technicality of the podcast. Now, this is something I've been struggling with. So this is a very selfish question. And I want you to answer to this question as a friend, to me as a friend. Like, imagine you are my friend.
Okay? You're more than a friend.
We are really dear friend. Okay, just imagine it. Even if it's not true, just imagine it. And how can you record a good quality podcast when you are interviewing someone? So if, let's say, you are not just recording your voice by yourself and you have an interviewee and you're interviewing someone else, how can you make sure that the quality of that interview is top notch? Because I've been struggling with that. So David, help me, please.
Right. Okay. There's two ways of doing this. Number one, do you want the easy way or do you want the really clever, sexy way that gives you brilliant sound?
I get you to choose this one. Show off your knowledge, man.
I'm going to go with a sexy one because this is something that I didn't do in the very beginning. Now, when you're recording a Skype, what happens with Skype? There's a couple of things. you get white noise in the background. It's only really soft white noise. And when you're actually sort of recording, now I've got headphones in my ears, I can't hear it. But when you play back on a tape, or my age then, it's not a tape, is it? An MP3. You can hear this tiny little...
annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. So what annoying. You need to do is two things, Simone.
Go for it. I'm writing them down.
Okay, if you record on Audacity, yeah. Which is a free program, it has a really good noise reducer. And so what you do, you get your guest's audio, their track, and you highlight a little bit of silence, which you think is silence when they're not talking. And you
let me stop you there 1 second before we go. So you're actually getting your do you get them to send you their track, or are you recording their track on Audacity?
Yeah, you record it on Audacity or whatever you want. So you can record on any software you want. But you can then transfer those tracks into Audacity because it's got this little device on there.
Yes.
Now, I use Camtasia, and Camtasia has the same thing as well. And the brilliant thing about it is that you find the hissy, the white noise on their track, and you mark it. Get about 2 or 3 seconds of it, and you press noise reduction. That creates an audio sound profile. So it just isolates that hissing sound, that very faint hissing sound. And you say, get rid of it. And it goes along the track, and every time it finds that hissy sound, it takes it off. It cleans up the track. Now, that is brilliant for your guests because you then get really good audio. But what I found was, because I record directly into my microphone, into my system, I could clean up the guests' audio, but mine was slightly hissy as well. So what I have is a free noise gate. So when I'm talking, my microphone's on. But as soon as I stop talking, and I'm going to do it now, it should go totally quiet. Now,
goes totally quiet.
I was banging on the desk then, but my microphone will turn itself off and turn itself on whenever I stop talking. So I'm right into the microphone. I'm talking and now, hello, Simone, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to stop talking.
And the microphone is off.
It's off. Now, that is one of the good things. So that gets me really good, clear sound.
What do you use for that?
Hang on, I haven't finished. I'm still telling you, Simone. Sorry.
I'm just too eager. I'm just too eager to learn. Okay, yeah. Keep going. Okay, Simone, shut up. Shh. Go.
There's a thing on the internet that you can Google, and it's called Noise Gate. N-O-I-S-E, noise, and G-A-T-E. And it's a little free software thing. And it just sits in the back of your computer, and you set it for a threshold. So it sets a threshold of when you want the microphone to switch itself on and then switch itself off. Totally free, brilliant. So that's what I use in the background so that I know that if a car goes past or whatever, it's not going to have any effect on my microphone. Now, and I'm getting really techie here, what then bothered me on top of that, I'd cleaned up the guest's noise. I cleaned up where I was silent. But what happens when I'm talking and the microphone picks up sound while I'm talking? That used to bother me. So what I did, I turned my noise gate on high. So then I just sat quietly and I breathed in the room and recorded an audio profile of my room when it's silent. Now, if somebody slams a door or something when I'm recording, there's really little I can actually do if I'm talking at the same time.
Yeah.
But then I run that afterwards through my track, and it clears up all the slight hiss or whatever ambience you've got in your room over my track. So I'm pretty much as close to radio quality audio on my shows. And some of them, funny, a little while ago, became slightly erratic because I was playing around. And I thought, the only way I'm going to do this is test it in a live environment. So one or two had a few problems, but now they're spot on again.
And in fact, that's why I asked you, because I'm listening to a lot of podcasts, but yours is one of the best, probably if not the best podcast quality that I've heard from the one that I'm listening. And I think there must be something that you're doing. And I remember that around 2 months ago or a month and a half ago, you sent a message on Facebook say, I might have found the secret to record a perfect podcast.
Yeah.
And I remembered that post, and I said, I'm going to ask him when I'm going to interview him. It was just in the back of my mind. So Thank you, David. This was a gem. And if someone also is not techie, can they contact you to help them to create all this? Something that you do for your clients as well?
Yeah, well, what we actually have, we have a platform called podcastersmastery.com.
Right.
And that shows everything. There's a free 12-part course attached to that, which we give away for nothing, which is valued at $470, and that will teach everybody how to create a podcast. But obviously what we're talking about here, Simone, is the sort of the next level, the expert level. This is beyond actually launching a podcast. This is what three and a half years of going gray has given me. But this is sort of takes you back. When you find the thing that you love, you become obsessed by it. And I became obsessed in two folds. Number one, with iTunes manipulation, how to get shows to get to the top of the ranks. I spent 6 months or so playing around with iTunes. That's a big block of what I do. And the other thing was audio. I got obsessed and people said, oh, yeah, I can't even notice it anyway, but I could. So I kept on going at it to try and get the best sound as possible.
Now, David, we have been talking about how to find the topic. We've been talking about what equipments to use. Now, also that we've been talking about launching and what platform to launch the podcast on. We have been talking about how to get a great audio quality sound. Now, the last question is, how do we freaking make money with podcasts?
Well, this is the easy thing. You get your listeners to tell you what they want from you, and then you provide it. Now, it seems a bit kind of cynical the way you say that, but that's how it basically is. So with Podcasters Mastery, for example, I wasn't planning on doing that because I kind of thought, oh, everyone's doing that. But I kept on getting these requests and people were saying, oh, how are you doing this and how are you doing that? And I thought to myself after a while, oh, if I record all these and then it's there. So the audience kind of told me and that they wanted it. So I just developed it as I have with Interview Masterclass, which is another course I do, Dreamstarters Academy. I'm not clever enough to go, ah, this is amazing. This is the new Facebook. I'm going to create this and the world is going to love it. I just basically listen and find out from my list, really, and my coaching clients. And you can be as open with them after a while because they get to know you to say, you know, what would you most like? If I created something that you were willing to buy, what would you most like? And they tell you.
Yeah, so that's simple. That's it. And now, did you create those programs? Were you thinking about monetizing the podcast from the beginning, from where you started? Or you were just saying, okay, I just want to do a podcast and then I don't know how to make money. I'm just going to figure out along the way. What was your process? Did you start the podcast with the idea of that is going to be my way to build my audience and to build my product? So how does it start from the beginning for you?
I started off with the thought of I'm going to get a huge audience and put sponsors on. And that was my whole plan, really. And then I thought one day, I don't know when it was, I was driving along and I suddenly thought, my God, if I get sponsors on there and say they're paying me 16 grand, 20 grand a month to sponsor my show, well and good. What happens when they suddenly say, I don't want to sponsor you anymore. I want to sponsor Simone's show. You suddenly lose 20 grand. And that's a big kick in the watsits, as they say. So I thought to myself, I'm not going to go that risky route of putting my income in the hand of some decision maker. So I decided I wasn't going to do that. And I stumbled into coaching. And a guy came through to me from Kenya and said, David, I'd like to mentor you. I'd like you to mentor me. And I was still in that point of, I don't know anything. Yeah, I might be talking to these people, but, you know, I don't know anything about it. And so I said to him, it's not really something that I do. And he said, no, I think you'll be very good at it. And I said to him, okay, if you want to do that, it's going to be 3 Skype calls a month. It's going to be boom, 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 10 grand a year. This is what I said to him. And he went, yep, that's fine. And I thought, oh, my God, I should have said 20 grand. I should have said 30 grand, you know. Why did I do this? I should have let him say it first and then not blink. This is how it's done. And within about 6 weeks or so, very short period of time, he'd referred me to 2 people and I'd got up to 10 clients. And so I was only doing 30 hours work a month, really. It was like the 10 free coaching clients. And then I woke up one morning on a Tuesday and I thought, right, what am I doing today? And I looked at my calendar and thought, oh, God, I'm talking to him. And I thought, I don't fancy this. I really don't fancy this. You know, this isn't why I quit my job, to be talking to people that I didn't really want to talk to, you know, because it just wasn't my thing. So I said to my wife, I'm going to get rid of all of them. And she said, no, just keep three. And I said, no, I'm going to get rid of all of them. It's not making me happy. I'm going to get rid of all of them. And she said, yeah, but we need the money. We need the money. You know, I won't sleep with you anymore if you haven't got the money coming in. And so I said, well, I'm going to be like Simone and just be backed up for the rest of my life. I don't care. I don't need your womanly ways. And so I got rid of them all. And then panicked like a madman until I realized that I had a knowledge base, and the knowledge base was was Podcasters Mastery, which sold very well. I'll be absolutely honest with you. It sold very well, but then it kind of dried up. And what I realized was I tapped into a pool that was waiting for me. So at that time, it was like a given that they were going to buy my products. Now I've actually got a sales and marketing guy who's building all the sales funnel and sort of the lead generation, and we're doing things properly so that we can keep a constant stream in the funnel, bringing the income through, and not just do very well for 1 month or 2 months and then it sort of dries up. So it has, it's become more a business, but it allows me to step away from it. All these things that I'm talking about now, it's, once again, it's scalable. I've recorded them in Podcasters Mastery. There's about 300 videos, and I go back over stuff, and it goes really deep. As I say, it's about cracking the iTunes code. It's about how to get the best audio, how to do this for the free, how to get best guests. You know, it's literally everything in my brain that I've learned, I've sort of thrown into the mix. So it's very, very comprehensive. But I could be sitting here now, Simone, and people could be buying it. You know, it's brilliant when you be able to get to that profile that people believe that you know what you're talking about, and when you believe that you know what you're talking about as well.
Which makes it makes turning point. Again, we are talking about turning points a lot in our interviews and in Explode Your Coaching Business show. And again, it's a turning point where you arrive and you build your audience, and the audience trusts you. And I think that the key word that you said before was trust, because that audience was ready to buy from you because you build that trust with them, that you were the right person from them to learn from. Because as you said, there were a lot of other people that are doing courses on podcasts, but why you? Because they bought from you, because you had built that relationship with them constantly, episode after episode. Now, the last question I want to ask you before you can tell our guys how they can get in touch with you is you had really incredible guests. I was looking at your guests. I mean, you had like people like Jack Canfield on your show. Now, who has been like your biggest guest that you had that you said, oh my God, I actually want to do a triple backflip right now?
Simone Vincenzi, when he came on the show, I thought I'd hit the jackpot.
Tell the truth. Okay, that was a sweet lie. Okay, tell the truth now.
But you were very good. You were very, very good. You didn't like it when I spoke Italian. You started sort of criticizing me, which you don't criticize the host, but you did.
Made a mistake. Sorry.
I've been practicing for weeks for that. I had walking around doing that.
I still love you. Don't worry.
I love you too, in a manly kind of way. Jack was very good because he was, you know, really down to earth. But I've been lucky. I've had a lot of kind of explorers and first people. So you may not sort of know them by name, but they were really fascinating. Like Jason Lewis, who was the first guy to self-propel himself around the world. So he started walking from London. Yeah, so he walked from London to Dover, and then he managed to pedal a pedalo across the Atlantic, you know, and then he
as you do
and he got stuck in a current and had to pedal in one spot for 3 weeks, not going anywhere, and then he roller skated, and he, you know, it's absolutely amazing. It took him 13 and a half years to get round, which was fascinating. And the first lady to get to the top of Everest on two sides, who's become quite a close friend to me now. So I like those kind of people more than the big sort of celebrity people. But I am pushing towards the celebrities because they're starting to get on my radar, which is kind of exciting. And I think I'm at that point now, as you sort of mentioned at the beginning, that they're just normal people. They don't phase me anymore, where I think, you know, in the early days, I would have been a bit on edge. Oh, my God, you know, I've got this person now. And I think I was a bit on edge with Jack Canfield, but that was, what, 400 plus shows ago now. So I think I'm ready to get the guys on because we're no different. We all sit on the toilet. We all watch Breaking Bad. You know, we're all the same.
We are. And when you will have Kim Kardashian, let me know, okay? Let me know when Kim Kardashian is going to get on your show, all right?
I couldn't get her bottom on the podcast. It would be too wide for my show.
All right, David. It's been an incredible interview so far. I had a blast. Oh, my God. I want to do another one. Now, how can people get in touch with you? How can people reach you? How can people take a picture with you and put them on their, like, on their bedside table? How can they get in contact you?
This is a weird kind of stalking you've got going on here. I don't understand this grooming that you've got with your audience. But the easiest way is go over to joinupdots.com, and all my training platforms are on there. Not all of them, actually. We're sort of adding and changing that through. Or over onto iTunes, and you can find me there. But the easy place is joinupdots.com, and you can connect with me directly. And I love to hear from people, especially new listeners who have just stumbled across the show. And I always find it amazing. But then, of course, there's billions of people. Why should people know my show? But when you're so involved in it, you kind of think that everybody should be sort of listening. Do you know what I mean, Simone? I don't mean to be cocky, but it's your life. And when people say, oh, yeah, I've just stumbled across your show, you think, really? After 800 shows?
Thank you. Oh, yeah. You're so kind.
And it was the wife who said that last time to me.
Well, David, thank you very much again for this interview. Before we wrap up, do you have any last word of wisdom that you want to leave our audience with?
Yes, start your Christmas shopping early because it will always take you by surprise. You haven't got much time now, so start getting, and you feel relaxed, won't you? You'll feel relaxed because it's all done.
Thank you. I'm actually going to do my Christmas shopping tomorrow. So Black Friday is a great day for Christmas shopping. Now, David, thank you very much again for joining today. Guys, make sure that you get in touch with the one and the only David Ralph, joinupdots.com. You will find all the links of what we talked about the microphones, the website, the softwares, joinupdots, David's program, all either on the website or on iTunes or a Stitcher, wherever you are listening this podcast from. And also make sure you subscribe, because if you haven't subscribed yet, Santa Claus will not bring you a present. So remember, you still have a chance to get into Santa Claus, a good people's list. Subscribe to the podcast and leave us a comment. From me, Simone Vincenzi, and David Ralph is everything. Guys, thank you very much and see you next episode. Ciao.